Morning. Thank you. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you. It's really good, isn't it, to be able to come into God's presence. We're just so blessed, just so honoured to be able to come and worship him and come before him and just know that we've received, that we can come with confidence. It's no accident that one of our core values as a group of congregations is grow and to be growing, and so we're going to look a bit more about that today. Week before last, Jason started getting us thinking about being transformed by God, and we're just going to carry on with that this morning. The Bible is littered with verses about growing. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, God's intention is that we grow, that we turn from something and then we turn into something, that we don't just become saved, but then we carry on our journey, that we carry on our story. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." And the Amplified puts it, "are progressively being transformed into the image from one degree of glory to even more degree of glories." And so it's just an ongoing story, and it doesn't matter if you have been saved for a minute or aren't yet saved, or you've been saved for 60, 70, 80, 90 years, your story is ongoing. Our being is a present tense. It means it's happening now. The intention is, God's intention is, it's happening now. And keeps happening. You know, the present keeps on becoming the present. So it keeps on happening. We're supposed to be being changed. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. God is still at work, and his intention is that we grow and get to know more of him. And in the Bible, when I was looking at it, there are so many different pictures and different analogies and different words used to inform that growth. You know, there's pruning, there's effort, there's renewing, there's building, there's practice, there's training, there's refining, there's change, there's transformation, there's trials, there's rebuilding, there's waiting. They all lead to some sort of change. Isn't, you know, God is the creator God, and we shouldn't be surprised that he finds so many different ways to build change and transformation into us, and that he does it sometimes through just letting us be in his courts of praise. Psalm 92 says, "The righteous will flourish like a palm tree." They will flourish in the courts of God. So sometimes that growth is just flourishing in his presence, just as we've been this morning, you know, just flourishing where we are. It says press on, you know, press on to take hold of maturity. Let us press on. The body of Christ may be built up until they become mature. We're maturing, we're growing. And God's clear intention is that we grow and we keep changing. That we don't stop where we are, but we position ourselves to be changed. We are not being changed so we become acceptable. We're not becoming changed so we will be loved unconditionally. Because we are loved unconditionally, he wants to change us. Because we are accepted, he wants to transform us. It's not, you know, we've often in our mind, we get it confused. And God has already told us that we are accepted, that he has that father heart towards us. That is our foundation. You know, we spent some weeks, didn't we, thinking about that heart of God, that the way he loves us, the way he calls us his own, the way he just beckons us into his presence. And that is where we build on. We are accepted. We are called. We're already resting in him. Now we need to change. We thought of his goodness. You know, we know he's good. So what comes afterwards is because of his goodness. All right? Because he loves us, he wants to change. Because he is good, he wants us to grow. It's because of his heart for us that he wants us to grow, not so that we become acceptable. And that's the first thing we need to think about as we think about growing, is that it is not because we need to become more fit for him, because we already are, but that for his pleasure, because he is good, because it's good for us, he wants us to change. Ephesians 3:18 says, being rooted and established in love. So that's our foundation that we spent some time talking about. Rooted in foundation, rooted in his love. We may have power to grasp, so we grow into and get hold of, how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. So we're growing into knowing more of him. One of the words that they use in the Bible that produces growth is discipline. One that sometimes you might like to skip over. I do. But I just I looked it up to see what it meant. And I looked it up in an ordinary dictionary. And it was talking about training for a way of a set of behaviours by punishment. And I thought, don't like that. So I looked it up in a Bible dictionary. I thought, oh, you know, I'll look somewhere else. And it said, training for a way of life resulting in blessing. And I was just amazed at God. I just stood there and thought of, you know, how opposite to the world this is. That it's growing for blessing. It's growing just to know him more. And I was just thinking a bit more about, well, you know, it's training for a way of life then. It's so that, what is that way of life that we are growing into, God says, I want you to grow so you have this way of life. And the first thing I really thought that he wanted us to think about today is the way of life he wants us to grow into is a way of relationship with him. That we may grasp again how wide and deep and high and long his love is. That we reveal more of his love. I don't know if you've ever read Song of Songs or Song of Solomon, as it used to be called. I have. I used to read it really quickly because it was a bit too much for me. And so it's just a book I'd like to read and then go on to something else. And then last year, at the beginning of the lockdown, God just kept making me go and read it and read it. And it came back to me. Someone from our small group just brought it back to me a couple of weeks ago. And it says things like, arise, my love, my beautiful companion, and run with me to the higher place. And then later on it says, now you are ready, my bride, to come with me as we climb the highest peaks together. And then later on it says, open your heart, my darling, deeper still to me. That is God's heart for us, that we are in relationship with him. He wants us to grow so that we can know more of that intimacy, more of just his closeness, more of leaning into him, more of his sufficiency, more of just being in communion with the Almighty God. I looked up the word El Shaddai yesterday. It came to mind in the morning because of this sufficiency in relationship with him. And Shad comes from a Hebrew word that means breast. And it talks of his nourishing and his sufficiency and his supplying all our needs. And that is the sort of intimacy that God is wanting us to go into. That as he trains us, as he transforms us, as he prunes us, as he flourishes us, it's so that we can rest on him and be in relationship with him, and he supplies all our needs, and he nourishes us, and he refreshes us, and he restores us. So as we are being trained, it is actually for blessing, the blessing of a relationship with Almighty God. Another life that a way of life I thought we were being trained for was a life of fullness. And it says in the Bible, the thief comes to only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life to the full. Or in other translations, it says, have it abundantly, or even have it more abundantly, or to the full till it overflows. So God's training us to live a life of fullness, a life of that is full of him. We're training to live a life of fullness. We're being pruned to have a life of fullness. And another thing, and this one I think is really important, obviously, from the songs that we've had this morning, that he's training us for a way of life of freedom. That as we grow and we're pruned and we're disciplined and we're corrected, that it's so we can live a life of freedom. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives. We're transformed to live a life of freedom. We're refined to have a life of freedom. We press on to know a life of liberty. That's what we're growing for. That's God's heart. You know, spring is a time of pruning, if you get out into the garden. And you go and prune. We've got an apple tree that is a bit wild. And we prune it so it does what we want it to do. And it grows the way we want it to. And we're not very good at pruning. We just get a bit snap happy. But surprisingly enough, it is still bearing fruit. And so that, but God knows exactly what he's doing when he's pruning, doesn't he? And he doesn't get snap happy, he just gets one bit at a time. And but he's training us and pruning us so we grow the right way. But that right way is a life of freedom. That right way is a life of intimacy with him. That right way is a life of fullness. And so pruning, you know, speaks, sometimes I think we interpret it as something quite harsh because you get scissors out and chop things off. But actually that's chains being broken. That's things being released out of you. That's things that bind you no longer having influence over you. It's being trained to live a life without fear. I don't know, I have told this story certainly in Ross before, but I used to be terrified of the dentist, and I do mean terrified, and I meant I just didn't go. So from when Noah was one and I stopped getting it free, I didn't go. I can remember when we lived in Cheltenham, I had a dentist appointment because someone else made it for me, and I walked up and down the dentist about 5 times. Because I was too scared to go in. I was petrified. And so I just didn't go. And so about 4.5 years ago, on an August bank holiday, on the Saturday, we were at a wedding, and this tooth began to hurt, that I'd had a broken tooth, and it began to hurt. And it had hurt before, so I took some paracetamol and thought nothing of it. But it began to hurt a bit more. And when I woke up the next day on the Sunday, my whole face was swollen. I could barely see out of this one eye. We spent the next 4 hours in A&E because there was such a bad infection in there. And then, so I had to go to the dentist, and I was terrified, as usual. But I just thought, you know, I sat in the waiting room thinking, God, this just isn't what you want for me. This life of fear isn't what you want for me. And I just, you know, prayed in tongues where I was. I just asked the Holy Spirit to come and help me. And it was better. And I had to go again several times because of the infection and everything. And each time I just prayed and it got better and better. And I determined, because the pain had been so bad, that I would go for checkups every 6 months, as you're supposed to. And you know, the last time I went, I was sat in the dentist's chair. I hadn't even prayed in the waiting room, thinking, oh, I'm at the dentist. I was, you know, God had worked in me to such an extent. And you know, the dentist is in many ways such a little thing, but God didn't want me living in that fear. He wanted to train me for a life of freedom. And that really is, you know, that part of that training is calling on the Holy Spirit to help us. You know, God is so amazing, isn't he? He is so cool, so incredible, that not only does he save us, not only does he want to train us for this life of acceptance and intimacy and freedom, he sends the Holy Spirit to help as well. You know, he doesn't even leave us on our own to do it. And that is just so amazing, that he sends his Holy Spirit to come as a helper. I've completely gone off my notes, so somewhere. He will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. And my favourite verse, probably from the Amplified, says, he will give you another helper, comforter, advocate, intercessor, counsellor, strengthener, standby to be with you forever. I heard it said a few years ago that the Holy Spirit is just waiting to help you. And just like Jesus doesn't push himself on you, the Holy Spirit doesn't push himself on us. But he is waiting for us to ask for his help. He is waiting for us to say, come and do this. Come and help me, Lord. You know, I was reminded at a small group again about what God was talking to us. And God had been reminding me through verses and things that of the days when I used to stand here and just gaze on him. And I was just lost. I don't know, you know, I was just lost in worship. I was just lost in gazing at my Saviour and at my Father. And I began to think about this. And I eventually said to God, well, you know, why don't you gaze at me anymore? and he said, I do. I'm doing it all the time. You're just not gazing back at me anymore. And you know, I realised that even in that, even in my desire to gaze, I could ask for the Holy Spirit's help. Even in that, God's saying, I just want to help you. I want you to help you focus your mind. I want you to help you to lift your head. I want to help you to look at me. You know, Holy Spirit is just desperate to help us, to intercede for us, to strengthen us. Growing, the things God does to grow are not always easy. They are hard, and when you're clinging on by the fingernail of your little hand, you know, of your little finger, it is hard. But the Holy Spirit is just saying, come, you know, I want to come and be your strength. I want to come and help you. You know, and sometimes it's hard to prune, isn't it? To let go of stuff that we've got used to almost, like my dentist thing that was just, you know, something I said, oh yeah, I'm terrified of the dentist. And I was almost comfortable in that role. It was just something part of who I was. And yet, you know, the Holy Spirit wasn't pleased that Jesus didn't want me to feel like that. God doesn't want me to feel like that. So the Holy Spirit just comes and helps and just helps and helps. You know, the enemy is called the father of lies. And it's in that verse we read earlier, it comes to kill and destroy and steal. He wants to steal our intimacy with God. He wants to steal our life of freedom that God is training us for. He wants to steal our life of fullness that God is pruning us for. You know, he will focus on the fact that God is controlling or he's punishing you or that you're going to miss out if you let go of that thing or you stop doing that thing. He will condemn you and say, you know, you're not good enough to change. You're not good enough for intimacy with God. He will tell you that God's a dictator, that that God is only asking you to change because he doesn't like you as the way you are. He'll try to steal and kill and destroy, and it's lies. He is the father of lies. The truth is where we need to stand. And the truth is we are loved and accepted by God. And he's just saying, I want so much more for you. I want to prune you. I want to transform you. I want to change you so that you know more of this way of intimacy with me. I'm training you for that life of fullness. I'm training you for that life of freedom. I could have talked about life of being coheirs with Christ. I could have been talking about life of promise. But I just felt that that freedom was one of the things that God wanted us to think about. So, you know, we need to recognize the devil will try to destroy us and kill us. And in those hard times, we need to call on that Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, come. We need to declare the truth of all that foundational stuff we heard at the beginning, that God's Father heart is open wide, that we can crawl onto his knee and just say, I'm struggling. That we can just say, thank you, God, for accepting me, that you call me my name, but you don't just call me, you know me. You know my life inside out, and you're just accepting me. But you want more. God is so good, isn't he? And as he prunes us and nurtures us, as he loves us, as he disciplines us, as he strengthens us, as the Holy Spirit enables us to press on, to practice, it's so that we would take hold of this life more and more, that we will grasp how wide and high and deep is the love of God. It's so that we know him more, that we become more like him, that we live a life of fullness and freedom, that we live a life consequently of fruitfulness. You know, we need to rearrange our thinking and just hear God, your plan for me is of training and transforming is one of blessing. It's one of getting to know you more. It's one of just having the blessing of your Holy Spirit releasing me and setting me free and enabling me to live in fullness. I was just reminded of two stories to finish that from the Bible, and I just going to share them really quickly. One was Martha and Mary, and I can't remember which one sat at Jesus' feet, and one rushed around, and Jesus commended the person just resting and sitting at his feet. And I just felt that there were people who are rushing around doing God things to try and earn God's life of intimacy or an intimate relationship. And God is just asking you to rest in him and just lead on him. And the other thing that came into mind was that there were people that you have given up on trying to grow, that you feel that you've fallen off the bicycle too many times. And I don't know if you've ever stood at a football match with little boys. Boys played football, I did it for many years. And some parents, usually parents, were really harsh to their kids, and they weren't training them, they were condemning them. But, you know, others would just say, come on, you can do this. And that's God saying, come on, you can get back up. You can come again. We can carry on growing. We can carry on telling your life story with me. We can carry on this journey together. God is just so wanting to bless us. God is so wanting us to grow in him. God is so wanting us to know that life of intimacy, to grow into this to be transformed, to be pruned by him. Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you come to help us. And right now, I pray wherever we are, you would just pour your Spirit out. That you would just come and be among us. That you would come and touch us. That you would come. Holy Spirit, we want to be those who don't hold back. We are not those who shrink back, but we want to be those as individuals, as congregations, as a church, that push in to take hold of all that you've got for us. We are amazed that even as we pray that we know your Holy Spirit is just there to help us. We're just so grateful. But Father, we want to grow. We are opening ourselves up to being pruned by you, to being changed by you, to be trained by you, to be transformed by you. Because we want to take hold of all that you took hold of us for. Lord, we are so grateful. We are so thankful. We are so amazed at your goodness. We're so amazed that not only do we get the blessing of salvation, we get the blessing of growing. Father, we just honour you. We just worship you. We thank you for your heart for us. That means we can go forward and soar with you and grow in you. Amen.